you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. As you're turning there, we've been talking about commitment this month. This is the new year, Sunday school year. We've started that. Church year starts first Sunday in October, which, by the way, in case you haven't realized that, that's coming right around the corner. And if I remember correctly, it was the first Sunday of October that George Hamm insisted that I start my first day here. So, believe it or not, come the first Sunday in October will be 1 year that I will celebrate being here. In some instances, it seems like it's been a lot more. In others, it seems like this is where I've been all my life and this is where I'm supposed to be. So I am thankful for you to have the committee to find me. I'm thankful they found me. I'm thankful that I listened to God. And I'm thankful that we're working together to see some good things going and happening in this area. As Paul talks to Timothy, we see that contentment. We talked about it, looked at Joshua as they marched around the wall. And we did an unusual type of sermon that Sunday. Last week, we talked about getting in a car and driving until it runs out on empty. And seeing how many of us like to take that needle and get just as close to empty as it can before it runs out. And then we fill it up. Today we want to look at finishing well as we finish. So we look at Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, verses 6 and 8 through 8. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. As we look at this passage of scripture that God has given us, we can all look at that. Most ministers use this a lot in funerals. So no, this is not going to be a funeral service today, but it is a preparation for finishing the race. There is an appointed time, an appointment that we all have that we will keep. You have broken appointments before, traffic, sicknesses, anything like that. But this is one appointment we will keep, and that's the one that God has given us. And when that day comes, that is the appointment that we will have, that we will keep. So as we think about this, Paul is preparing because he knows his life is at the end of this earthly life. And so as we look at this today, what can we learn before that? I read an illustration that said just before his team left the locker room to play the national championship of the college football in the Fiesta Bowl, Jim Tressel, head of the coach of the Ohio State Buccaneers, gathered his team for one final talk. After going over the game plan, he asked the team one simple question: how do you want to be remembered? It must have worked because the game was over. The Buckeyes pulled off one of the greatest upsets there ever was, and beating Miami Hurricanes on a 34 winning streak coming to an end. But that question is the one we want to look at today. How do you want to be remembered? How do we want to be remembered when that day comes? What do people say about us? What will they put on our tombstones or whatever? What will people say? How do you want to remember those kids went out there and played their hearts out as if there was not another game left? That was the last game ever. They played their hearts out and they won that game. What about us today? We know that our end is going to come. It may be sooner than we think. We don't know, and that's the bad problem, because today we like to schedule things in our phones, our calendars, and anything else, and we like to have it at hand so we know when it's coming, don't we? But you know what? This is one day that God says is my day, and none of you will ever know what it is, ever, until it happens. How will you be remembered? Here we see Paul asking that same question. And as he does, he's sitting in a jail, and he wrote these words: for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. As we think about that this morning, we see that after an exhaustive study, Howard Hendricks of Dallas Theological Seminary studied the men and women of the Bible, and he concluded that there's about 100 detailed biographies in the Bible. He also said that out of this, two-thirds of those were men and women who ended poorly, not successfully, but poorly. Either they turned to immorality, or they drifted away from the faith, or they ended their life in a backslidden condition. But this was not the case of Paul. Paul was still fighting to the very end. He was keeping his faith. He was fighting a fight, and he has finally come to the point where he can say, "It is finished." And he is writing to Timothy to tell him that my life is coming to an end, your life is beginning. Timothy was getting ready to take Paul's place. One day there will be somebody that's going to take my place. One day there's going to be somebody that's going to take your place. Now we hope that we've done the very best we could with our children. We've taught them. We've loved them. At times we thought they hated us, and they probably did. But when it came time for them to be out on their own, our prayer was hopefully that we taught them all we could. Just like Jesus that night with his disciples. When they did communion, when they broke bread and drank the cup, and Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." Jesus taught them everything. The question was, how much of it did they know? How much of it did they remember? I love going to seminars because you always get a chance to learn a lot of things out of those. But I also found out that there's so much of it that comes on in these seminars in one weekend or one packed meeting that you end up coming back and you forget most of what it was that you learned and got so excited about because there was so much of it. And so the next time you go to a seminar, you say, "Oh, I heard that," and it sparks a new interest in something, doesn't it? So I have to keep going to seminars, and I have to keep going to these types of things to keep sparking those things for me, so it keeps me from not forgetting. We want to finish well. And as we think of this, there was a runner named John the Penguin Bingham. They said he was a serious runner, and those that are serious runners probably know of this man. They have heard of him. He'd written some books. But they looked at him, and he asked, and he made this statement: "As I stand at the starting line, I know that somewhere out there, there is a finish line." Start the race and finish the race. How many of us have started the race and have not finished the race? How many of us have gotten sidetracked? Out there somewhere is a finish line for all of us. Dr. John Upton told us that one time in a meeting that his dad took him out there and he says, "Pick out a star." And he picked out a star and his dad says, "Do you have it?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Do you know where it's at?" "Yes, I do." He says, "Now go out farther from that and pick another star." Keep in line. We have picked some goals for this church. Some we have reached, some we have not reached. But we need to keep focused on that outer star that God has given us. And we need to see that. So we ask these questions. Verse 6, what kind of departure will you have? As we said in the Old Testament, the law mandated that when a worshiper brought an offering, he brought it to the altar. The priest received some of it, and the rest of it was put on the altar. But they would also bring a drink offering and pour it on the coals and everything. And I understand that when you do that, you pour that wine out, it would give a sweet smell or an aroma that was pleasing to God. And all of that was used. None of it was given to the priest. And this is what he is saying here. This is what Paul is saying. He says, "I am being poured out." Now, the symbol of wine is joy in the Old Testament. I am God poured out. I have the joy of Jesus. Do we have the joy of Jesus this morning? Do we have the joy of God this morning? Are we joyful people? We sing that song, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee." Do we really adore God this morning? Do we really enjoy having him with us? Are we happy about him? Are we excited about what God can do with us? This drink offering has said, I gladly give all that I have to the Lord. This sacrifice that I offer is given as a symbol of my total commitment to God. Jesus did what? Poured and said, this is my blood. This do in remembrance of me. It was the symbol of saying what? I pour my life out to you. Are we pouring our life out for Jesus today? Are we doing that type of sacrifice? And am I saying, are you saying, I gladly give to God everything that I have this morning? Everything. My money, my home, my clothes, myself, my soul, everything. Are we really ready to give up everything to God and say, I gladly give it to you, God? I gladly give it to you. No questions asked. Or do we like to give him the money box and hold on to the key? God, I'll do this if you'll do this. I'll help you out over here if you'll help me out over here. We like to bargain, don't we? My father-in-law's great at that. He goes to flea markets, and they're selling something for a dollar. He'll try to get a 50 cents out of it. You know, he won't even fork out a dollar. He's going to talk them down. If they got it for a quarter, he's going to try to get it for a dime. And I'm wondering, how many times do we do that with God? We bargain with God. God loved us so much that he gave us everything, and we just want to bargain. We see the word that in verse 6, departure. It has three meanings to it. The first one that we see is a picture. We see that it is in a ship that is hoisting up, raising up the anchor and setting out the sails and departing for sea or to the home port, the setting of a distant port. We see that the second sense of this word depart means to be in a camp, and you break up from camp and you depart from that to move on, to go home. And the last one that they show is, my friend, as we are departing, we can take and lay our burdens down and depart from it. And Paul's death was like setting sail, breaking camp, or laying that burden down and departing from it. Was Paul afraid to die? No. I have met people that are tremendous schizophrenics of dying. They would rather do anything than talk about it, much less do it. And I have seen people in other churches that I have pastored that have fought to keep alive, to keep from dying, because they were afraid to die. And we don't like to talk about it, do we? Death has become an ugly topic to us. We don't want to talk about death. But you know, as a Christian, when we die in this body, we become alive in a new body. Isn't that what we want to talk about? That's exactly. My dad's 87 years old, and through this, I want him to live. I love him dearly. But when God says it's time to come, I hope I'm ready and I'm prepared to not be one that is in mourning because of the loss of a loved one, but I will have tears of joy because I've not lost him. I'm just not going to see him for a while. He's going to be there. Secondly, we see the question, what kind of legacy will you leave? Whenever I read verse 7, I think of Billy Sunday. A lot of people never heard of Billy Sunday. A lot of people forgot Billy Sunday. But in the early part of the 20th century, Billy Sunday preached the Great Awakening. He preached in a way that he became one of the greatest American evangelists of the 20th century. He reached out and touched hands, and he shared and preached to millions of people without a lot of TVs and satellites and all of these things. And he reached out, and he personally shook hands. When he died, they put verse 7 of 2 Timothy 4 on his tombstone. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now the question is left asked, why am I still on this earth? Why am I still here? Well, as a Christian, I can tell you why you're still here. You haven't finished the work. God has work for every one of us in this room this morning. It doesn't matter how young we are. It doesn't matter how old we are. In my last church, Clarence Vance was 87 years old. He had a grandson that came down to his house and stayed with him. And he met some kids back behind the house there that lived in a trailer park, and it was known for drugs and everything. And these kids were coming up there to Mr. Vance's house, meeting with his son. And you know what Clarence was doing? Talking to those kids, sharing with those kids, offering to buy those kids Bibles, and telling those kids about Jesus Christ. 87 years old, dealing with 20-some-year-old kids. God wasn't through with him yet. Aaron's life has changed. He's gone back home with his parents, and he's getting his life back together. And Clarence has gone on to be with the Lord. His work is finished. Our work is not finished. But we need to keep the course, he said. And we need to continue on. And then we see that as we do that, we will follow those directions. And the third thing that we see this morning, what kind of reward will you receive? In today's translation, that means, what will I get from you if I do something for you? What are you going to do for me? What kind of reward will you pay me for it? Isn't that the kind of attitude we look at God? Well, God, if you want me to do that, what are you going to do for me? We see that Paul gave his life to Jesus on the road to Damascus. But when he gave it completely. And he began to preach. He didn't change it. He didn't water it down. He preached like God told him to preach. And he was thrown in jail. And one commentator said that they threw him in jail. They locked him up in the deepest dungeon. And it wasn't dark at all in there. And the reason it was not dark in that dungeon was because of the joy that he had for Jesus. The light that his light was shining for Jesus brightened that place up. And the scripture said that when they were in jail, they did what? Woe is me, oh God, look what I did for you, and now look what I'm getting. That's not what he said, but it said they sang praises. They sang words of joy in prison, in a dark, dungy prison. And it was joy. It was daylight. It was brightness. But you know, every single one of us on what we call that day, you notice they use that word, that day. Why do we use that day? Isn't it the day of judgment? On the day of judgment, we will all stand before God. And we like to judge one another, don't we? But on that day, there's only going to be one judge. And that's going to be God. And we're going to have to stand before him on the day of judgment. What kind of reward will we get? Well, some have read Revelations and said that you're going to get a great big crown with all kinds of jewels on it. There's some that I know that are saints. They're not even going to be able to wear their crown. It's going to be so big and heavy. So I don't know if we'll wear the crowns or what. Will they be mounted on the wall? I don't know. But you know, to me, what my reward will be? To be with God himself. To be with him in heaven. In a perfect world. A perfect place. And not deal with all the baggage that we're dealing with now. To me, that's a great reward, isn't it? But if we can't enjoy what rewards God's given us now, how are we going to enjoy it that day? So what does that mean? It means to me we need a whole lot of practicing, of celebrating, partying, whatever you want to call it, enjoying life, but not the life that this world is saying enjoy, but enjoy God. In all things, I can endure. I can be excited about Jesus no matter what. And if for some reason our country is knocked off and overtaken by another country that doesn't believe in Christianity, can I survive? Yes, I can, through Jesus Christ. Now you're thinking, well, preacher, that's kind of extreme. is it? How many read the paper or listened to the news lately? How many countries are mad at us right now? Just a few. How many people have just died because of a statement that was made from the United States? You don't think it's easy to overturn this country real quick and another country take over this one? Yes, it can happen. We don't think it can, but it can happen. And if it happens and it comes to a country that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if it becomes like Nazism or some of the others, and they tell you that you cannot worship Jehovah anymore, that you cannot worship God anymore, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What kind of rewards will you have when you get to heaven? So simply put, I see these things happening. This scripture to me says, keep on fighting. It says, keep on running. And it says, keep on believing. Because the best is yet to come. That's what it is. He also says that even though, and the song sings, that anytime there's many dangers, toils, and snares, they won't last forever. Stay strong. Hold to the faith. Finish strong is what he's saying. Paul is telling Timothy, finish strong, my son. Finish strong. And by the grace of God, let's finish strong for Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for the examples that you've given us through the Scriptures. We thank you, most important of all, for the example that your Son Jesus even set on this earth for us. And Father, may we finish well today. May we fight a good fight. May we stay the course. May we keep the faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. This morning, as we get ready to stand in just a second, sing our hymn of invitation, number 281, Speak to My Heart. As we get ready to stand, the invitation that we give is simply this. We are making invitations for you. We invite you to come to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We invite you to come and to release your burdens, give them to God, anything that's just totally upsetting you or keeping you from worshiping God, just bring it to Him this morning to the altar. We invite you to come and to join this church and be a part of a fellowship that believes in Jesus Christ. So as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation, number 281, You Come As the Lord Leads.